I want to share too.
That lady. Oh boy. She was loyal. She came to church anytime she could. And when I would call her during the lockdown, before I could say, "How are you doing, Peg?" she'd say, "How are you doing, David?" Because she knew I was struggling with stuff. But she always was a cheery person. When she always had good things to say, and she always would say, "You know, David, I'm praying for you." And that's so precious. She's still praying for us. She's still praying for us. I want to share this. I shared this at my niece's memorial. I've written a lot of poetry, and I've written a lot of poetry about grief, and I'm usually just the heartache of grief. You know how you feel so much pain, and that's what my poems have validated. But this one starts out that way, but it has a good ending. So I'm going to read it. It's called Reunion. Reunion. See if I can get through this okay. Today, we grieve the absent kiss. Tomorrow, mourn the face we miss. The coming weeks and circling years may never dry our deepest tears. But God's own hand will wipe away these sorrows when that coming day brings missing loved ones into view, when severed ties are joined anew. No longer will we feel the grief of lost embraces, all too brief, but we will greet and hug once more those dear hearts who went on before. It isn't far and won't be long until we sing that welcome song of sweet reunion up above with all the treasured souls we love. And I'm not going to say my message now. We want to have a hymn, and we've printed it out here because the words, even if you can't sing it, the words are so precious. And I tried to get a pretty big print on it. The Hymn of Promise. We learned this from an early eschaton resident. It was passed on a long time ago. And we started using it. And then one of the other ladies I think she had lived the longest since our first service that we held. And some of you might remember Betty Lamphere. Anybody? Oh, good. She was so precious. And she had that sung at her memorial. So I thought this would be a good one. So do you want to lead us in it? Oh, we'll sing together, okay, because Donna's not as familiar with this song, and it is so beautiful. If you can sing it with us.
In the bulb there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, what it holds a mystery. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. In our end is our beginning, in our life infinity. In our doubts there is believing, in our life eternity. In our death a resurrection, at the last a victory. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see.
We don't want this service to go long, and so I've chosen one of my old messages that this happened quickly. This all happened very, very quickly. And let me pray before I begin this. Lord Jesus, help me with this message, because my heart is broken up. It's been hard this week, Lord, losing people that we love. Precious people, sweet people. So bless this message, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So life is full of surprises, you know, and a sudden death is a big surprise. And like somebody said earlier, well, I just saw her and she was back from the hospital and she was okay. Well, if we're realistic, yes, life is full of surprises, and there's only two sure things that we do know. It's death and taxes. Everybody says that. But the one thing we can escape is taxes. We can cheat on them, I guess. Some people have found ways to get around them. But you can't escape death. You can't. No one cheats on death. They don't. And 3 weeks ago, Peg was here actually 3 weeks ago. And you don't know what's going to happen in 3 weeks. And 3 weeks, we may be in another service. Who knows? I don't know. My mom, she used to say, when the winds of death blow, two or three leaves fall. And I told my nephew that. I said, you know, I don't know. Sarah's... And then when I got home, it was Peg. So I don't know. It may be me. I don't know. I sometimes think it might be me. Well, the point is, when we come to a memorial service, we're thinking of hope. We're thinking of hope is when we come to a hope of remembering the person, remembering that person, but also hope because we know that there's someone out there that's watching over us. And that's the point of my message. We have to have hope in God. And Peg had that hope. She put her hope in God. And somehow God has to fit in the picture of our lives. He has to fit somewhere. Sometimes we don't have God in the mix, in the formula, and He has to be in there because this is where our hope is at. It's not in this world. We can't get out of here alive. We die. Well, that's why I want to read this scripture, and I got to print it out for you. It's at the bottom here, James 4, 3. 13 through 17. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. These are pretty strong words. I've known these since I was a kid. And I've sort of taken my message from this verse, the word mist. And I'm going to do a wordplay. You know, poets do a lot of wordplay. So I'm going to do a wordplay. And the thing is, in the midst of life, in the midst of life, death happens. In the midst of life. But sometimes it happens in the mist of life. In the misty times when we're not expecting this. We can't see down the 3 weeks from now. We can't. It's a mist over that. It's a mystery. Yeah. So in the midst of life, with God in charge of our lives, we can handle the surprises. With God in charge of our lives, we can handle the surprises. And first of all, I just want to look at attitude. How do we plan? How do we plan this idea of going into a city and making money and next day I'll do... No, life is misty and it's uncertain. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't plan. No, we should plan. But we need to let God be a central ingredient in our plan of life. Attitude is everything. And one of the biggest attitude problems we have is pride. And I know we've all had stories where we've had either people with pride do something in the hell where we fail because of pride. And it says pride comes before a fall. And it falls away from the divine curriculum. And the divine curriculum comes from the school of hard knocks. How many have ever read this thing called the University of Hard Knocks? Somebody's read it. Oh, my goodness. The guy used to give a speech on it, and I listened to it. There's so much wisdom in that talk that is learned from the University of Hard Knocks. But God wants us to have a realistic attitude as we face our mortality. He wants us to have a realistic attitude because we're living in the midst of life. So uncertain. The steps we take in this mist are a gamble, really. It's a gamble. We can't see. We have to have faith, actually, to walk through this mist of life. And it's like the venture. It's like a business adventure, what this passage talks about, a business adventure. Or it's like a marriage. Now, Fred took a risk and Peg took a risk on getting married. But boy, they hit the jackpot, didn't they? Oh, my goodness. And I did, too. I feel the same way. I hope I can have as many anniversaries. We've had just celebrated our big 5-0. And we're happy. But praise the Lord, how many years of happiness you've had. Well, some people, they run off and get married in Reno, or they gamble in Reno, and it's a big Reno for R, risk. And it's a big risk. And you say, well, marriage is not a risk. Yes, it is. Ask any divorced person, you'll see it's a risk. But no, we feel like sometimes just crossing the street is a risk. Just walking across the street, people get killed. Or actually eating out. You can eat food and get food poisoning. It happens. And then the risk of walking in this mist of life. We journey. We have to have the right perspective in this journey. And that is having God in the picture. The big lie is I'm on my own. A lie only has power in your life if you give it, if you believe it. And it only destroys. It only destroys a life if you put that lie into practice. Well, the big truth is this. You're not on your own. God has been with you all this time. He's been always around you. He's been always there. He's been wanting to tell you He loves you. He wants to bring you in. He wants you to trust Him. One of the members here. Now, I don't know if anybody will remember LaRue Dalton. Anybody? LaRue? No. Too many years. She was a wonderful. She lived to 100, didn't she, love? Yes, she lived to 100. But she had a little business card she gave me. I may not know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. That's a really good statement. Because with God in charge of our lives, we can handle the surprises in the midst of life. In the midst of life. Because God sees through the darkest mist, and nothing takes Him by surprise. Nothing. And He also extends His hand to us and says, trust me. I can take you safely through this misty life. That's what He offers to every one of us. So what do we do in the mist in the meantime? We're in the midst right now. We're in the midst of the mist right now. So part of trusting God in the mist is believing that He tells us about what's right to do, right and wrong. Okay, He's given that us a conscience. Everybody has a conscience. They don't always listen to their conscience. And sometimes the voice of their conscience gets pushed back and they keep on doing the stuff they shouldn't be doing. But He's also given us a rule book. He gave us the Bible. It has a lot of different points, right and wrong, bound to the Bible. But then He gave us an example. And I know that Peg followed that example because she followed Jesus. You know, sometimes we think, I'd like to have God come down here and experience what I'm going through. Well, let me tell you, He wants to do that. He has done that in Christ. That's what the whole doctrine of the incarnation is, that He came down. God came down not only to go through what we go through, but to save us out of it. And Jesus was the Lord that said to Peg at one point in her life, follow me. And she did. And when we're in the midst of life and we don't know what really to do, and sometimes even the Bible or even our conscience, it's just, what do I do about what's right? And sometimes we just have to, say, Lord, show me the way. And I have to say, there was another. I have a lot of stories from Eschaton, but I have another lady, Despain. Her name was Despain. I don't think anybody would remember her either. She wasn't here that long. She died. And her son, Rod Despain, he made a picture of Jesus. It was just a drawing. And it was such a powerful drawing. Jesus, in one hand, had his shepherd holding onto his shepherd rod, and then he had his other hand reaching out and looking at you. And the name was Follow Me. Follow Me. You see, we don't have to go through this mist without faith in someone that knows the way. And He says, Follow Me. And then this passage, at the very end, it talks about the mentioning of sin. You know, sin in the Bible means missing the mark. A lot of you know that. I've said it a lot in this church. And it's easy to do. It's easy to miss the mark if you're aiming at the mark and there's a mist over the target. You can't even see the target. So yes, you know, it's easy to miss the mark in this if we're in the midst of life. So where we usually miss shooting at the good life, because there's a lot of people who tell us what the good life is, but where we usually miss shooting at the good life is that we're shooting at a mirage rather than the real target. And the real target is a life forever with God. That's where Peg is at right now, and that's where she shot at the right target, and she hit it. She hit it, and she's with the Lord. Traveling with God is real. It's a really good life. But the good life, in this good life that God has given us, in this mist, this life can be lived, and death is not a threat because it's a passage into an even better life than this good life with Him. So this message is sending us back in. I mean, as we walk out of this building today, this message is sending us back into the mist of life, the uncertainty of life. But it's hopefully sending us back with a new hope. And some people, it's an old hope, and you're still holding on. But if it's a new hope for you, just say to Jesus, okay, I'll take your hand, I'll follow you. And then you'll know, and you'll find out that with God in charge, we can handle the surprises of life. Father God, I thank You for this time we've had together. And I thank You, Lord, for my sister Peg. She was so dear. I thank You for everything she means to us. And I thank You, Lord, for where she's at right now with You. And she doesn't have to suffer anymore. And boy, she gets to dance and run and jump with, oh Lord, she doesn't have to be in a chair. Thank You, Lord. I pray, Father God, that You would bless all of these people who have come today. And, Lord, bless their hearts. And I pray, Father, that they will, when they remember Peg and they remember her smile, that Jesus was on behind that smile, living on the inside of her heart, being her companion when she was in the midst of life. Thank you, Lord. Just bless us all, we pray in Jesus' name. The only way I want to end is with our normal way of ending a church service is always with a benediction. And so I'm going to ask you, if you would like to, you can stand, and I'm going to bless you with a benediction. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless you. I want to tell you, if you didn't share a story you have, this family would love to hear your story. And there's time for fellowship at the back. There's cookies and coffee that they've provided. So feel free to linger and to share. God bless you all.